are a lot of names, real, fictional, or legend, that we think of when it comes to pirates in their golden age. Even classic stories involving pirates, the imagery is sharp, even if tinged with a bit of gleeful inaccuracy. Tropical adventure and daring ways of life for freedom, it's no wonder we've fallen in love with the idea over and over again. But the intrepid hunt for freedom and adventure could get carried away to the extreme, and this way of life didn't keep a lot of survivors. And the strange thing about today's hero is that the surviving legacy is a fictional character that's completely eclipsed the real thing. I can't help but find it a bit ironic that after such a fight for survival, Alexander Selkirk's story isn't even his that lived on. It's Daniel Defoe's.
Hi, welcome to Understudies, a podcast where we try to shine a spotlight on the characters in facts or fiction who aren't necessarily considered the star of the show. Call them side characters, supporting cast, or whatever you'd like. We think of them as simply understudied and want to give them a little extra attention. Some of the characters and figures we'll be discussing might in fact be the main character to certain stories or areas of study, but we're trying to address them as they've come to be known to a wide audience. While we might not be experts in each area we try to cover, we know that some of you absolutely are, and we hope you'll reach out with some feedback or extra info that we're likely to leave out. We're also open to suggestions if there's a character or figure you'd like to listen to on the show. We're excited to explore the personalities and characteristics that contribute to some of the most impactful and memorable stories ever told, true or imagined. Okay, so today we're talking about the privateer, let me check my notes, Robinson Crusoe? Yeah? Yeah?
Did you not get the
No, memo? I did, yeah, I read, the whole book and everything like that. You
That's,
know, the ones...
no.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Not at all.
No, definitely not him. Yeah, no.
This is Understudies.
It is Understudies, yeah.
Robinson Crusoe's right there in the title.
I think I flubbed it.
What, are you new here?
I'll see myself out. No, of course. Obviously, we're talking about Alexander Selkirk.
Alexander Selkirk.
Scottish privateer.
Not a lot of people know about Alexander Selkirk, but a lot of people know about Robinson Crusoe. You know, it's just like it's just so ironic to me. I don't know. I can't imagine surviving on a desert island and not living up to the credit.
Yeah. Once again, I find myself in a position where I'm sort of going into this and I'm like, well, I have no idea who this is before you mention it to me in passing for the next episode and stuff like that. And you're like, oh yeah, Alexander. And I'm like, who, what, who, you know, pirate? And you're like, privateer. And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, okay.
Well,
and when I learn his story, it's like, I mean, there's a reason it was novelized. Like, it's insane to me. Just like
he
the details.
He still doesn't
of it.
Even get direct credit for inspiring the book.
Really?
It's still kind of up to debate.
What?
People are still not, like, Daniel Defoe never really came out and said, oh, yeah, it was this guy. But the book came out in Selkirk's lifetime.
How? You think he read it? You think he read it and was like, hang on a minute.
I wish I knew. Skinning, it's not impossible.
Skinning goats and, running from the Spanish and stuff, and
well, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Sorry. But yeah. Well, spoilers.
Once again, on Understudies, you find me in the not so unique position of finding inspiration from Colin Woodward's The Republic of Pirates. Mm-hmm. Everything in that book is just completely chock full of amazing characters, and I really just was so hooked on every word. But specifically, what I was fascinated by in that book are the smaller mentions of these characters that really just don't get a lot of description. Mm-hmm. And man, that's what we're here for, because I sure think they do earn it. So
yeah,
we'll start off with a little bit of what the context is for all this. We're not just talking about privateers; we're talking about the marooned. Getting marooned on a Caribbean island started out as Alexander Selkirk's own idea. Wooden ships back then deteriorated rapidly, and on-the-run lifestyles of pirates, privateers, and navy vessels avoiding conflict didn't exactly allow for frequent maintenance. Selkirk insisted that he'd stay on an uninhabited island before he'd continue any further in Captain Thomas Stradling's unsafe ship. What they needed to do back then required a lot of parking the boat, tipping it over, and scraping barnacles off of the front, and I guess that just had not been done in a while, but that wasn't always the safest procedure either. You never knew what waited for you on some of these islands, and if you really, really knew where you were going, you were probably fine, but you never knew what you were getting into on these waters.
Right.
So Stradling took him at his word, and he left Selkirk with just a few supplies on the island and sailed away without him, who, you know, was likely feeling a little bit of regret as the depth of his claim became reality.
You gotta like really put this into like context as well. You know, this is like the turn of the century, you know, like 1700s and everything like that.
War.
Yeah, war, you know, I mean, they're men at arms, basically,
at war,
you know,
with the Spanish.
Yeah, and at war at the Spanish. So
fighting pirates.
Just being like so brash, so bold as to be like on a ship, you know, and like being like, hey man, we're either gonna do this, we're gonna repair the ship, it's gonna sink, or just leave me here.
I'm not going any further until you clean this up.
You better do something. Okay. And he's like, all right, bet, and throws you a knife and a gun and a Bible. And then it's like, hey, have fun. Hope you're gonna enjoy dying on a marooned island.
Well, honestly, we'll kind of see whose joke was on who, because Selkirk was stuck there, the sole resident of Masa Tierra Island, with nothing more than, like you said, a couple of small weapons, a cook pot, some clothes, and a Bible. But, ironically, Captain Stradling's ship did not make it much longer, just like Selkirk predicted, and when it lost its battle with the elements, any survivors from the wreckage were captured and imprisoned by the Spanish. So perhaps Selkirk was a bit luckier than he knew.
Yeah. It sort of is like one of those, you know, like, will you push the button sort of like situations, you know, you get left for dead on an island, basically, to fend for yourself, or you get like captured as like a prisoner of war. And this, you know, it's not like no Geneva Convention back then, you know, they will do whatever they want, basically.
Well, the crazy thing about this story to me is that this guy just had the swingiest luck, because of course it's a terrible thing to get marooned, but also it could have saved his life. And gosh, you'll see as we keep going, there's just, it doesn't stop there.
Yeah, it's insane. For real.
Selkirk was even a step luckier to have been the son of a tanner, because after spending a short time on the island's beaches to keep watch for any potential rescue, he was forced to explore a little further into the island to survive and found his salvation, which was, I'll give you a guess. You have one guess.
Oh, gosh. Pepper plate trees.
Goats.
Oh.
Masa Tierra happened to be inhabited by a bunch of wild goats. Selkirk was able to capture or hunt the goats with crafted weapons when his bullets ran out, and tools that he had made to use the goats for food and clothing. So his dad was a tanner by trade, and he was able to use the skins. It's a crazy kind of stroke of luck.
Yeah. Like,
the son of a tanner happens to be in the situation.
Yeah, I read that they were just sort of like, you know, like naturally inhabited the island. They sort of ended up there just because of like some spare ships that were like sailing around, basically.
Swingiest luck.
Yeah, for real.
The goats weren't really his only new neighbors, though. the island was also populated by rats and cats. Selkirk's other stroke of luck plus handy skill was an ability to domesticate and befriend the cats to protect him from the rats,
what?
Which would otherwise attack him in his sleep.
He had a horde of cats.
He had loyal cats and evil rats. This sounds like a Dr. Seuss story.
It kind of does, yeah.
I digress.
It says he was driven inland because of extremely loud sea lions.
I believe that too. I mean, if you're looking for your salvation on the horizon, but all you get is a bunch of screaming giant, he'd probably not seen tons of these, and they weren't, like, familiar to him, like, as much as we are familiar
with
them.
Yeah, actually, imagine it's, like, your first encounter with the sea lion, but you're, like, stranded on an island with them, and they're in, like, droves, you know?
I mean, I'm sure you'd seen them around.
Oh, my goodness.
On his trips before, but they certainly weren't, like, he couldn't have been very familiar with him for more than a few years. No. So, no. Yeah, that would have been a little intimidating, you know, to say the least. But
anyway, we're in off track. Sorry.
Clothed, fed, and protected, Selkirk also saw separate arrivals of two ships. And here swings our luck in the other direction, because unfortunately, they were each enemy Spanish ships, and both times he had to hide. I can't imagine being in that situation and being like, oh my God, people, and not being able to do anything about it.
Spanish flag.
Yeah,
that would, like, oh no. Are we at war still? Let me think.
I know, I almost wonder if he ever wondered if it was worth it to just go check anyways. Like, survive or not, he was probably going to get to see people. Well, like, that would have been a hard decision.
Yeah, that's like one of, like, I mean, I think, you know, this is a terrible aside. I'm really going to get us off track here, okay? If you're listening and you're like one of those people who's like, oh yeah, let's say some disaster happens. Zombie apocalypse or something like that. And you're like, okay, yeah, if that broke out, I would die straight away. No, you wouldn't. You're a fighter, just like Selkirk, you know? You don't give up.
You got goats.
You'll kill some
goats.
You got
cats.
Yeah, you got some cats.
Believe in
friends.
Yourself.
Yeah, you got, you know, like you got a knife. You know, what more do you want? They can give you milk, they can give you skin, you know? It's just about making the best of a bad situation. And really finding your drive to survive. But being alone in a circumstance like that, thank goodness for the cats, because the loneliness, the desolate nature of that sort of existence, years of your life completely alone, it's like...
Imagine setting out and making this episode and saying, thank goodness for the cats, knowingly.
Yeah, I guess that I do feel a little ridiculous now.
I love
that
it.
You pointed out.
Yeah,
but
tune in for our sister podcast, Life Advice with Landon, by the way, debuting soon.
I'm not even a cat person, okay? But if I was stranded on an island...
You'd become a cat person.
You really very quickly become... And kind of a rat person, too. Those little evil things nibbling at your feet.
I don't know.
You can't help yourself.
I don't know about the rats.
Yeah,
but,
probably not the rats, actually, in reality.
Oh, geez. Well... He narrowly evaded his captors, and there's even a tale that he brought back of having to climb up a tree to escape some chasing him after being spotted, and one party of Spanish soldiers came, looked around, didn't see him, peed by the tree, and left. I don't know why that was so worth documenting, but we have that in history now.
man, you know what? You know, I'm sort of realizing something now. He could say anything, you know, and I would take it. I would be like, I believe him with all of my heart, 100%, you know, like for real.
Well, interestingly enough, we don't have his own account. We have another account of his story, but we'll get to that shortly.
Oh, really?
But the Spanish weren't the only things he had to run around and chase.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, suggests here that he, you know, I mean, like, the goats really were the goat.
Oh my gosh.
This is quality content right here. But it suggests that, you know, like, goats aren't like the nimblest. Yeah, they're nimble for sure, but like, you could run them down basically if you need
to. I would say they were much more nimble, maybe not as fast, or in like the endurance, is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, something like, well, I don't know, but there's an account that that is suggested that after he started to run fairly low on gunpowder, he had to chase like portions of his prey down. And in one such instance, he injured himself because he fell off a cliff, tumbled.
Chasing goats,
lying there basically from the fall itself, and almost like for over a day, basically, or about anyway, somewhere in that ballpark. But the reason he didn't break his spine is because he landed on the goat whenever it came down.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
How do you deal with medical... Ugh, I can't even... So many things about this is just nuts to me. 5 years had elapsed until luck finally favored him in the ultimate way, and he was rescued from an actual lawful English vessel. Woods Rogers was the captain of that vessel, and he's credited with kind of bringing down the golden age of piracy. So he's come up maybe once or twice and mentioned in past episodes before.
Thanks, Woods. You deprived us of the most romantic era in, you know, living memory, as far as I'm concerned. Well, maybe sort of, you know, it's that's how we think of it now. I'm sure at the time it was awful to be at sea. Anyway, sorry, excuse me.
Well, by the time renowned privateer Captain Woods Rogers found and recovered Alexander, his feet had calloused so thickly that he had no need for shoes. like a hobbit.
Wow.
And he was hysterical from joy. Who wouldn't be?
Yep.
From welcome human contact at long last. They thought, oh, this guy, he's insane. But I would have been. Jeez. He was weeping. He was just unconsolable. And for a time, at first, he was quite unintelligible. He just couldn't really communicate accurately, and it took them a while to kind of figure out what was going on. Captain Rogers referred to him as the governor of Masa Tira.
You get rescued, and then, like, some English dude on a boat just starts making, like, wry
jet. Easy. Get a load of this guy.
Hello, governor.
I can't imagine.
I just imagine Woods Rogers, you know, because the aforementioned pirate stopping, just had the most posh possible accent. Probably not. He was a seaman.
He had a giant cannon scar on his face, so he was probably not the most refined looking gentleman.
What?
Anyhow, that's another story for another day.
We're just going to leave that as an aside? Yeah, okay.
Go read The Republic of Pirates by Colin Woodward.
Excellent book.
After his serendipitous rescue, Alexander Selkirk had adapted so well to Ireland's arrival that he almost floundered when he made it back to civilization. He did not do as well on the boat. He had gotten so accustomed to his lifestyle and diet that he kind of rapidly declined on Roger's ship, only to recover just enough to be made second mate for the voyage. He returned to the life of privateering on several expeditions until, after 8 years away from home, he returned to England a celebrity, following others' reports of his incredible tale.
Seriously, it's insane. I've got a quote here by Woods Rogers, actually, for like a book that he wrote called A Cruising Voyage Around the World. First to the South Sea, thence to the East Indies, and homewards by the Cape of Good Hope. He, you know, this is basically in regards to Selkirk's, not only like his physicality, but his... Well, I mean, you suggested that at first he was a bit distraught, only natural, I think. But after some time, his like peace of mind that he attained on the island was something that Captain Rogers seemed to admire. And quote, "One may see that solitude and retirement from the world is not such an insufferable state of life as most men imagine, especially when people are fairly called or thrown into it unavoidably, as this man was."
Yeah, people had such a neat way of, I mean, these were really, I wonder how much refinement they got when they landed, but these publications of theirs would come out relatively quickly upon arriving home.
Yeah.
And you could kind of think of them as just sort of the privateer's journals of their day to day, which would be a pretty good way to keep record, but also keep yourself busy.
Yeah.
And they always had such finesse about it. It's just so funny.
Very beautiful language.
Anyhow. Alexander Selkirk lived in London for a few years, even eloping with, but not marrying, a woman named Sophia Bruce, and possibly going to prison for assault for a couple of years, like you do, before voyaging to West Africa in an anti-piracy voyage. Selkirk would not return from this excursion, dying of yellow fever at sea in 1721. He was 45 years old. However, his legacy didn't die with him. In 1917, Robinson Crusoe was published. The similarities, though never directly credited by Daniel Defoe to Selkirk, were uncanny. The titular character was portrayed in goatskins, with toughened bare feet, witty survival tactics, and all that fun adventure. Or fun might be a little subjective there.
No, I mean, it sounds fun.
Fun for us.
Fun for us, for sure.
Entertaining story.
Such an incredible story.
Let me see here. Reports of Selkirk were first received by the English public in 1912, a year after his rescue, by crewmate Edward Cook's publication of his voyages. Reputation and resemblance would have been unmistakable to readers because Selkirk returned a celebrity. Everybody knew this story, and it was only more popularized with the publication of Robinson Crusoe, again, before his death. Unfortunately, with Selkirk absent and deceased during the book's initial reception because he had been sailing, it's Robinson Crusoe's name that has held such lasting fame and celebration, not Selkirk's. Uniquely, he seems to be the side character to his own story. And I just think that is so strange.
It is a strange legacy to hold, you know? Some dude just sort of hears about you in passing, you know, and then it's like, oh, I could I can make a book about that, I think, and then does. And then it just completely eclipses you in its stature. And I don't know. Something about that.
So funny to me, too, because he never said, oh, yeah, this is based on Selkirk. He just, like, almost pretended that it wasn't. But there's, like, no way that the inspiration could not have been largely drawn on that story.
Right.
It's just crazy to me.
Daniel Defoe, you sly dog, you.
Both stories are gripping. Both of them are definitely worth extra reads and research. I strongly recommend Colin Woodward's book. I strongly recommend everybody read Robinson Crusoe. It's a classic. But maybe give a little nod to our friend Alexander for the fascinating tale that we've been left behind with.
Well, as harrowing as that, escapade, I'm sure, was for Selkirk over the course of his life, I think it was honestly a delightful subject of adventure. And
I love these stories. Yeah. I can't get enough. You're always kind of like, ugh, another pirate. But man, can't stop.
Listen, to be clear, okay, I go, oh, another pirate. It's a joy, for real.
And he wasn't a pirate.
No, privateer. Very important distinction. Forget. Don't forget, He would have you remember that, I think.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, the atmosphere. We've been having a blast. Lately, we had been playing a little Assassin's Creed Black Flag. Mm. And Woods Rogers is a character in there. Yeah. And several other characters that I would love to touch on the show as well. But you might notice that we have a bit of a soft spot for the tropics, the Golden Age of Piracy. And what we really have a soft spot for is a good book. So what we would love more than anything is your recommendations. Who should we visit about next? Who is somebody that deserves a little more time in the spotlight? Mm-hmm. Fact or fiction? Be sure to join us next month for our fictional character mm-hmm. of choice. I got to admit to you, I don't even have them picked out.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got sort of like a running tally a little bit,
We've got options.
Because something's on the back burner, really.
But nothing. Nothing decided, is where you come in.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Please send us your feedback. You can visit us straight at anchor.fm and leave us a voice message on the podcast. We would love to hear from you. We might air it. Visit us at Twitter at undercast. We are so eager that you have joined us today, and we can't wait to see you next time.